those papers, the consolation stuff he gave me, the two people to go to call.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Music. I hear nothing under the headphones right now. No, it's not out there yet. Welcome, my friends, to another edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. Our website is livefreenow.org. I'm going to cover tonight the topic of, is the Internal Revenue Code, the IRC, the Federal Tax Law Code. Right here you see my physical copy in my hand, this toilet paper thin, you know, big book. Is this whole Internal Revenue Code positive law or not? And if it's not, does that mean that you should or should not file and pay income tax? I'm going to answer that question for you tonight definitively. Now, it's a big theory in the freedom movement about the whole positive law issue. A lot of people have legitimate questions about this issue. What is positive law to begin with, and why that term ever came up in the first place in, you know, in America? Well, to do that, folks, what we have to do is have to go on our on the computer, okay? Now let's go to my screen. I brought to you already, folks, this website, uscode.house.gov. You can look it up yourself, uscode.house.gov. Look it up. You see this page is from on the top left from U.S. House of Representatives. Office of the Law Revision Council. That's the lawyers of House of Representatives, basically. Okay, you can search the whole United States Code. And so what you do on the left hand, and you see, folks, there are Title One, Title Two, Title Three, all the different titles. One is on general provisions, two is on Congress, Title Seven is on agriculture, for example, Title Ten is on armed forces, you got Title 13 on census. You go down, oh, look at 26, Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws. And you keep going down, you see, look, 45 is railroads, and right now there's up to 54 titles. And look at this, at the bottom, it has an asterisk, which says this title has been enacted as positive law. Well, okay, some of these have that, but Title 26 does not have that asterisk next to it. Title 20 Highways does, has asterisk. 18 does, but 26 does not. So title, that means the title 26 is not positive law. So what does that mean? How does it affect you of your legal rights and duties? Let's go over that now. Now, to find the answer on the left-hand side, look at this. There's a positive law codification on the in the menu on the left. You open that link in a new tab, and you're going to get positive law codification explain, okay? And I tell you that the positive law codification by the Office of the Law Revision Council, that's the lawyers of Congress again, is the process of preparing and enacting a codification bill to restate existing laws as positive law title of the United States Code. Well, still, you say, Paymon, I still don't get it. What is that? I'll tell you. Way back in the late 1700s, you had the U.S. Constitution, and federal laws were published in books, like this book. It's not one of those, but let's say this book, okay? And they have laws published in books in different pages, one after another, they're published in this chronological order, right? Here's one law, another law. That's what they did. In times of George Washington, Jefferson, and so on. So you have next, you know, when that book filled up, they did another book about federal laws. and they just made more laws and more books, and they numbered them. You know, here it is, this one, 17, 18, 19, 20, you know. They just kept these volumes of books going. Well, these volumes of books talk about many different topics, like, you know, railroads, Indians, copyrights. So you had a problem that if you are, for example, a railroad, and you want to know what law applies to you, you have to look up the law in this book on page 26 to 29. Then you have to look up this other book on page 145 and 192 and 205 to 208. And you had to look this other book on page 313 to 318 and 392 through 98. You had to read all the different books, different pages, different language, all about railroads, how to relate to each other, and which one is talks about the topic you're interested in. And which one of these laws or provisions were repealed, they were, you know, taken off, and which one were amended or changed, and how they were changed and amended. So which law is no good, which one is still good, and which one is the topic that you want. It was just so confusing because you have to study all these different laws to find the one that it relates to you, what you wanted. Well, that became cumbersome. So that's when they said, let's do something about this problem. Look at my screen. When it continue to go down now, when we go down, you see the importance of positive law codification explained here. And what they tell you that the original 1926 code fit into a single volume and reflected the focus and size of the body of the law in effect. What they did was they took all these laws about a topic, in all different law books, put them in one book about Indians. All the laws about railroads in one book. All laws about money banking in one book. All the laws about, you know, taxes eventually were put in one book. So now, and then at one book, you had by logical categorization separate those laws in a way that make it easy to find and use, table of contents, very logically made easy to go look up stuff, and, you know, and you update everything, all the laws that were amended and changed and modified, you'll list the latest version, because the earliest versions are gone anyways, right? So that is what the codification process is. So that started in 1926. And right now, only 27 of these titles have been completely done that way. That means that they erase all the laws about that topic. For example, let's go to my screen, okay? And here we go. So here you see, for example, you got title 3, the president. Everything has been repealed about the presidency, and title 3 reflects everything about the president of the United States. Look at that. It all organized chapter 1 through 5 about the president. Everything in a nice organization. Each chapter further broken down, look at that, in various sections, you know? So you have this organization that really helps finding. Bigger titles like Title 26 on taxes, here's the Internal Revenue Code, which is much bigger. You got subtitles. Look at subtitle A through K. If you click on subtitle A, it further breaks it down into, oh, look at that, subtitle A to chapter 1 to chapter 6. Okay, and you click on this chapter 1, for example, he opened that up, it breaks it down again further, you know, in chapter 1. And here we go, look at that. Subchapter A, B, C, D, okay? Okay, so all the way through Z. I mean, that's a lot of subchapters within that chapter. And further logical organization categorization. As complex as a book like this is, the Internal Revenue Code, the Federal Tax Laws, about 10,000 sections, over 100,000 subsections, it's far better organized, succinct, commercial, bunch of books like that all over the place, different years that were put together. So what the biggest problem with this whole thing, codification and positive law, is this, folks. The Internal Revenue Code is, as I'll show here, is the evidence of the law. In fact, I'll tell you right here in the screen, okay? Here, let's go back. Okay. So a positive law is itself a federal statute. See, the statutes are passed by Congress, okay? Let me show you right here. I'm going to show you actual statute of Congress. When they pass them, they look like this. United States statutes at large contain this one, laws and concurrent resolutions enacted during the second session of the 99th Congress of the United States of America in 1986. That's an example. Okay, and this is volume 105, parts, part one, public laws 99 to 241 through 99 through 452. Okay, I mean, this is just one of those, okay, public laws that they did. So this is how they do it. And these were made in like section of this statute, section 2, section 3, in all these sections. They were not in the, you got to find every book to see this stuff. So to make it easier, they put this stuff in these codes as I shared with you guys, folks, okay? So here we are. So let's go back to the screen, okay? Okay, here's what it says. This page says non-positive law titles are prima facie evidence of the law. Okay, and he's saying, what's prima facie? That means it's a Latin word. Prime means one or first. Facie means face. So that's first face, first look. At first look, at first instance. So at first look, that's what that means. Okay, prima facie, what that means. So here it says, non-positive laws are at first look evidence of the law. But positive law titles constitute legal evidence of the law in all federal and state courts. Okay, and you see that right there? 1 U.S.C. Section 204. That law, when you open that link, open that in the two-bit tab, that's exactly what that law says. Here it is. Okay. It says in all courts, tribunals, public offices of the United States, everywhere in America, right? And it says about the United States Code, okay, that everything in it shall, together with the current supplements, if any, establish prima facie laws of the United States, general and permanent in their nature and force. Okay? So, they add, however, provided, however, that whenever titles of such code have been enacted into positive law, the text of the law thereof shall be legal evidence of the laws contained herein. Okay? Which essentially means positive law. That's it. That's the law. No question, no doubt about it. Okay? But if it's not positive, it's because we don't know if the old laws were repealed when the code was made. Because some codes, the old laws were not repealed. In turn of the code, the old laws were repealed. Okay? But some of the titles are not. Now, I'll show you in turn over the code how that goes about old laws being repealed, folks. Okay. We go to 1939 law. Okay. Here's, where is it? If you're 1939, United States statutes at large about the Internal Revenue Code, the first Internal Revenue Code of 1939. There it is. You're looking at it, folks. Right there. Approved February 10th, 1939. Okay. And here it is, what does it say? I highlight the relevant section for you. It says, Section 4, right? Internal Revenue Code, hereafter set forth, is intended to include all general laws of the United States and parts of such laws. remaining exclusively to Internal Revenue in force, okay, on the second day of January 1939, of a permanent nature and of a temporary nature if embraced in said Internal Revenue title. In furtherance of that purpose, all such laws and partial laws quoted by hearing to extend and relate exclusively to, you know, it's just a gobbledygook about it. You can read it for yourself. But basically, all it says is a gobbledygook, folks. All the laws previously are repealed, and this is it. Old laws are repealed, gone. Anything about taxes is gone. This is a book on taxes from now on. That's it. Everything here, right now. They did that in 1939. And then they followed that up in 1954 as well. What they did, let me show that to you right now. Here it is, folks, on the screen. Section 7851, applicability of revenue laws. This is Title 26, right? I already have it up for you. Now, it says, except otherwise provided, with whatever exceptions. It says the repeal, it's a bunch of stuff is repealed, okay? However, now this is 1954 code, by the way. 1954, when they amended their Internal Revenue Code, they did a whole new one. They said the Internal Revenue Code of 1939 is repealed only certain chapters. Okay, the list here, chapter 1, 2, 6, chapter 3 are mentioned, right? But if you go at the end of this, they mention the other chapters by reference. It's gobbledygook language again, folks. I'm sorry. They don't write these laws easy to understand, folks. Okay, I'm going to put it in front of you. You can read it for yourself. I'll tell you just what it is, basically, okay? This cash-out provision says, basically, the rest of the Internal Revenue Code of 1939, you know, that's not listed, is repealed. That's what it says, basically, okay? So here we got, folks, the Internal Revenue Code of 1939 is gone, okay? And then 1986 law, which I'm going to bring out for you in just a second, okay, is now the restatement of 1954 code. Okay, here we go. 1986, Internal Revenue Code. Here we're going to go to the second page. There it is, folks. Internal Revenue Code of 1986. And what it basically says in this paragraph, you can read on your own, you can pause this, read on your own this language. It says basically 1954 code is 86. Is renamed it and amended it. That's all it is. Okay, so in short, the Internal Revenue Code is the law. No past laws before 1954 matter. That's the bottom line. Or even before 1986. This is 1999 version, but it's really 1986 code with some additions, right? And guess what? Were there some additions in 1998? Some of those sections are not in here. They didn't put them in there. Why? You know, good question. For example, I got this book back in 1998, Law Explanation Analysis by Commerce Clearinghouse. Okay? Really good little book on the 1998 tax law changes they made. It was the big changes to IRS they did, Internal Revenue Code. And they had a section on there of the law, section 3707. Okay? I don't have it here, but that's about, you know, the IRS cannot label people as tax protesters. The crooked courts can do it, judges, but not the IRS. This part of the Act, Section 3707, has not been added into Internal Revenue Code. They did not put it in here. So we're not positive that's all the law. There's more parts, like the book I showed you. Some parts of the law have not been put into the Internal Revenue Code. For whatever reason, not clear to me at this time. So, what does that matter? What does it mean to you? What it means to you, this is not determinative of whether you got to file income tax. This issue is not it. This is not for you to look at. What you want to know, whether you require to file income tax, is here. Watch. Okay. You want to go to livefreedom.org, front page of the website of Freedom Law School. Go to Freedom Hour tab, okay, on the and then right click on that, open that in a new tab. From there, you get to the Freedom Hour, and then you go click on YouTube. We're going to be on BitChute, other people, places. We are already in BitChute, but YouTube right now is better organized until they say they censor us. And then you right-click on it, open that link in a new tab, and here you go to Freedom Oscars, Freedom Channel. By the way, folks, listen, I'm telling you, one of these is going to be cut off and uncensored on YouTube. You want to go to our website at livefreedom.org on the front page and request a free freedom education package. We'll send you information in the mail for free, and we'll be in touch with you. If they cut us off, we'll be in touch with you, folks, okay? Here, let me show you. On the front page, make sure you go on the right side of and fill out this information. Get started below, and fill out your information down here on the right side and click on this brown button. And all lessons on the left-hand side, you're going to get all these and more for free email to you. You're going to get package mailed to you, and we will be in touch. So be sure to stay in touch with us by doing that. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, of course, as well. Yes, subscribe. Okay, and hit the ring button, bell, so we notify you of our presentations. Okay, but once you go to our YouTube channel, okay, here we go. The one I did right here, summary of who is required to file and pay income tax, only less than 8 minutes long. This is the one I've opened up for you. There it is. This is the one that you want to watch. Under 8 minutes summary of who is required to file and pay income tax. It was put on YouTube on August 5th, 2020, folks. And in this short video and the ones it refers to, the longer ones, I will show you, my friends, you, the average American, living and working in the 50 states, are not required to file and pay income tax. And I will show you the federal income tax law applies to residents and citizens of Washington, D.C. and territories, and to others who have money connected coming in or out of Washington, D.C. and territories of the United States. That is it. So, folks, thanks for watching. Remember, the positive law issue is not the issue to go after. It's a non-issue. It's not the thing to focus on. A lot of misinformation is out there in the freedom movement. In fact, if you go to our YouTube channel, folks, you'll see I got a lot of videos on many different topics, folks, that you definitely find the one you're interested in. Okay, you can go on and search one and look up what you want, for example. You want to put that on citizenship, okay? Citizen. You search on that, okay? Here we go. I did one, for example, are you a sovereign state citizen, U.S. citizen, or American national? I did one more recently, about a month ago. Are you, as a sovereign state citizen or U.S. national and non-resident alien who must pay income tax? That's a good one, by the way, okay? So you can go on the search bar, look for the words, keywords that the topic you want will have in it. You're going to find a lot right there. Remember, the most recent videos I've done for the last previous six months are always going to be, or year, are going to be the best ones. Keep improving them and making them better and better. Okay. But use the search there as well. Okay. And our website again, livefreenow.org. That's where you want to go. There's a lot of information there for free. I'm going to show you some of the best parts for you to start at, okay? What you want to do is to go there. Go to education materials, folks. This is on your own home education. The drop-down menu comes out. You see below, eye-opening education. Open that link in a new tab. That's where you start. Before going to income tax reward, educate Congress, stop withholding other stuff. Okay, so here we go. You start with this page. Read the material in this page first. Scroll down. How your chance to go to jail are as a non-filer, someone who doesn't file income tax, are half of you getting hit by lightning. Yes, you go down and watch. Go read the whole page. Then go look at the hyperlinks in this page and the videos that are here. And in order would be a good idea. And you're going to get the answers you're looking for, the education you are looking for to be free. Folks, share this information with those you love. You love the truth. That's what got you here. Now, take a next step. Share your love of the truth with those you love. Our videos. You have my permission to replicate our videos on your own YouTube channel. Put them on your Facebook page, anywhere you want to. Get them out there, folks, because the American people do not know we've lost the control of our government. We are practically a communist socialist system. The community, the society, that's where you get the word communism and socialism. Those guys in government, they think they know better than you. They want to take your money, and they decide how much of your money you get back this way, that way, in health care, okay, benefits, home subsidy loans, disability payments, Social Security, rather than you saving for yourself. They think they know better as your masters because they think you're too stupid. They think you're too ignorant, too dumb to plan and save for yourself and plan for yourself. Is that true? I don't think so. If you watch this program, you're plenty intelligent to make decisions about your own life, yourself, and make good choices. Okay? So get this out to your friends to take our country back. Have you be free. Stop them from stealing your money, folks. You don't owe a dime on income tax. The federal government. As someone in the 50 states of America. And you have no legal, constitutional, conscientious, moral, or ethical duty whatsoever to pay money to your enemies in the deep state government, executive and judicial branch, who have conspired to ignore laws of Congress, to misapply it, to steal your money, to make themselves more powerful, more money, and weaken you. Do the truthful, loving thing. Don't let fear stop you. Let truth be your guide. Okay? Thanks for watching, folks, this presentation. Now I'm going to end this live recording and go to the question and answers. We'll go on and the recording that's recorded will end at this time. Okay, folks, now I'm going to go to some questions that people have online about freedom questions, folks. Every Thursday night I answer your questions free of charge, whatsoever, free. People send me stuff. Help me out, Paymon. And I do. Help you out for free if I can. Otherwise, you might need a one-on-one consultation as well. So, first, I'm going to go to some of your questions online. Also, on YouTube channel. I'll get to those comments on YouTube channel and momentarily. Let me see. Okay. All right. First, we get an Angel from Southern California. Angel, I got your email, my friend, about your help you need. California Franchise Tax Board sent his company in order to steal his money. That's the California Income Tax Agency. They want from him about $14,000. They want 25% of it to steal. Now, Angel, interesting that your address is in Pago AS. Where is Pago AS? I never heard of such a place. Is that even in America? And you get paid by Golden Choice. Well, I'm going to say nothing else. You know, these guys in California, whatever. So the best thing to do is to not get paid out of California. I don't know how that this happened. But we need a one-on-one consultation. I need to see more paperwork of your case. How this thing came up. What did you do? What did you not do for years 2007, 10, and 11 while they're after you for this old year? So give me your paperwork. In a private consultation to see how this came up and what can I do to fix it for you. Bob, if you need help right away, folks, with any freedom issue, I've been doing this since 1992. Freedom Law School started in 1996. So what you want to do, if you need help, folks, go to on our website, livefreenow.org, get quick help. Click on that. Get help quick, And here is, you see options to do a one-on-one private consultation with me. It's all there, okay? Follow the instructions here, and I can help you for free as well, my friend. Now, let's go to someone else with questions. Michael, okay? Now, Michael says he wants to stop as a small business owner using his software that have withholding in the forms, in the language of the these payroll software for his small company. They require W-form reporting, they'll do automatically. Well, he says, what can I do? For right now, I don't know of any of these programs that do not do RMAG, W-4 withholding and all that nonsense. Okay? People that get these programs, they get them because it does all those things for them. Otherwise, just add up the hours of your people, multiply by how much you owe them, every week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. Write them a check. $1,000, $5,000, whatever it is. Write them a check. At this point, that's your easiest way. Don't spend no money for payroll thing. Just write them a check. Okay? Because no one that I know of has done a program like that for not having withholding and W-4 and W-2 be automatically in those programs. Okay? All right. Now let's go to your comments on YouTube and Facebook. All right. Let's see. All right. I don't think there are any questions here yet. Or gambling winnings. You know what's funny about that? I looked at the gambling law. You know what? The federal gambling law applies to the in Washington, D.C. and territories also. Steve, what was, Dave, what was that code section? 4404. Since you asked, you brought up Jimmy. Okay, by gambling withholding, Jimmy brought it up. I'll show you, Jimmy. You got it. Okay, we're going to look it up together online. 4404. Here we go. Here's what you do. Type in 26 space USC 4404. Okay, and then house.gov. Category 26, section 4404. 4404. Are you sure it didn't come up? Oh, here it is. Okay. I'm going to get it from a house.gov website. So, no, that's not the one. Okay, here we go this way for you. 4404 is down here. Here we go. Miscellaneous excise taxes. It's excise tax, right? Section D, 4404. I looked it up the other day. Here, tax on wagering. There it is. Chapter 35, tax on wagering. Well, now here, you see, folks, tax on wagers comes up. Okay. There's four sections here, five sections. Here we go. 4404, territory extent. How do you like that? Territory extent of gambling laws is right there. Take a look again. See? Here it is. Tax on wagers, imposition of tax, right? Territory extent, right, of the law. Well, open that link in a new tab. What does it say? Here it is, territory extent. The tax imposed by this subchapter on wagering shall only apply to wagers accepted in the United States or placed by a person who is in the United States with a person who is a citizen or resident of the United States or in a wagering pool already conducted by a person who is a citizen or resident of the United States. But who is a citizen or resident of the United States? Oh, the key is the term United States, not the 50 states, I think, you think. No. United States, you'd be shocked. Get ready. It means only Washington, D.C. Therefore, all this applies to D.C. Hang in there. I'll show you. I'll prove it to you. Look, okay? So here we are. Go back here. I'm going to show you. I'm going to look up section 7701. There where it goes. I'm going to do a quick shortcut. Put on here 26. Okay, titles 26, section 7701, and then go search. go. It comes up. I'm going to make it bigger for you guys right here. Here it is. See, definitions, right? Section 7701. When using this title, right? What title are they talking about, folks? The interrupter in this entire title, unless some chapters have certain different definitions, right? Well, guess what? There was no definition of the United States in that in the wagering tax area. There was none. Here it is. You see, definitions. United States is and states. United States means only the states and District of Columbia. Bam. And the state shall be construed to include D.C. also. So the whole wagering tax applies to Washington, D.C. and territories also. Another section adds territories. So anyhow, Jimmy, hope that helps you out, my friend. I'll cover this in more detail another time. Okay. So let's see. Thank you for the love. Timmy Six and others sent to me. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know what you can do, Timmy? I appreciate your love, but I would love to see you post this on your own YouTube channel. You know, put this on your Facebook pages, videos. So any patriot groups, freedom groups, tax groups, put it out there. Post it up. Tell other people about it, your family members, friends. That's what you can do, folks. Get stuff out there. Okay. Let's see now. Jimmy Bennett says, David Kitka from California calls me about federal tax liens IRS, and using the IRS had on me. States that you didn't pay. Was a tax-related issue? If so, the liens have been taken off. Yes. The liens were completely removed. The whole thing was completely removed. It was gone about 2 years ago, roughly. Yes, they're gone. Okay. Unfortunately, Davey, sadly, some people are moving, folks. They don't want to work together. I want to reach out to every patriot leader out there. You know, I want to work with them, talk with them, communicate with them, work together. But too often, you have big egos. I know only best. You know, they don't want to dialogue even with you. You know, so Divya was one of those. She called me all kind of terrible things. So public and privately, hey, I wish her the very best of success in her life. And I don't choose to be an angry person. I want to go with love and help people. Okay. So Al says, I'm state citizen in California. I have an LLC owned by you, by him in a trust. Should I unincorporate it? What's liability if I get sued in an unincorporated business? Do I pay state sales tax? Well, you ask a lot of questions, Alf. LLC is fine. LLC owned by a trust is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good way to go, in my opinion. Okay? And so the LLC or the trust are not in D.C. territories. The law doesn't apply to you, or the tax is not imposed on you or the LLC. So no problem there. Okay? And do you pay sales tax? Sales tax is something that is by law required for people. So it's not like income tax. It's a state law function, and they can do that if they choose to. Most states have a state income tax. A few, like Oregon, do not have a state sales tax. Okay? But you probably want to do a private one-on-one consultation. If you want to get your business done right, Alf, let's do a one-on-one talk. I can answer your questions in more complete details, my friend, okay? Now, someone asked if United States Postal Service wagers are connected with D.C. and are taxable. Yes, because United States Postal Service, I would think because it's a D.C. corporation. Well, let's go look at the law. I'm not prepared to give that definite answer. I have to look it up just like you guys, folks. I don't have an answer off the top of my head, okay? Well, it's an agency, United States, but look at the law on my screen. The law is applies to by, you know, an imaging pool conducted by a person who is a citizen or resident of the United States. Well, the post office is not a citizen or resident of the United States. That's people. The post office is not either one of those, not a person. But yeah, wager doesn't matter. On wager, exactly, on wagering, yeah. So, but hey, listen, I'm not prepared to give you a full answer right now. I need to look it up to give you a more definite answer. But at this time, it doesn't look like it. Okay? So I don't have answered everything right here, ready to go out. I would like to do some more research before I give you more definite thing search on that. Okay. And then let's see what other questions you guys have on there. I think that's it, guys, right?
Yeah.
Oh, someone says, I got a new job at the post office. I stopped paying or filing income tax, quotation marks, because it doesn't exist for non-DC income 6 years ago. Is my post office income DC related? Unfortunately, yes, because the money comes from DC. People that work for a federal government, perform functions of public office, or from a corporation created in the United States. I'm going to show that to you right now on the computer. Why is that? Okay. That's a very, very good question. I got to give you guys on that. Let's go look up section 7701 one more time. We shall have it up here for you, I think. Well, let's go search it up. Okay, here we go. Let's go look up section 7701. Definitions. Okay, here is my favorite section of Internal Revenue Code. What does it say here? What's the term domestic? These terms, domestic and foreign, are very important terms that we got to pay very close attention to. Okay. Domestic, when applied to a corporation or partnership, means created or organized in the United States, which is D.C., or in the laws of the United States, which is D.C., or by the state, which is D.C., right? Now, you see that. Now, there's also United States person defined, okay? Now, I'm going to get to the term United States person, which also is a very interesting thing. Here we have United States person means a citizen or resident of the United States, a domestic partnership, a domestic corporation. See? Here's C. A domestic corporation. Right? And United States Postal Service, USPS, is created within D.C., a domestic within Washington, D.C. Okay? So that's why, yes. So you didn't know that that went with the job, unfortunately. Okay, I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Okay, no more questions. One more question at the end. Let's see, get a new question. What happens when Washington, D.C. joins the union, as I heard in the news? It'll never happen. It cannot happen. They have to change the U.S. Constitution for that to happen. You see, America is not a country. No, we're not. America's 50. The countries in the union, 50 in a union. America was 13 countries that came in the union. 13 separate countries separated from England. The colonies became states. Independent states came together, delegated a few powers to a new government called the United States government. Gave it Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, gave it a bunch of swamp land. So it has its own land and territory. It would not be under the thumb of any of the states. Because if federal government has its offices in Pennsylvania, New York, we'll be on the thumb of Pennsylvania, New York. That's why. Okay? So, it's in the Constitution. It takes a constitutional amendment for that D.C. to become a state, which means that, you know, fourth of the states got to approve that, and they ain't going to happen. D.C. is a communist, socialist hotbed. The freedom states, you know, the low population states, which are freedom-oriented, okay, the more freedom, libertarian, conservative-oriented, they're not going to allow that to happen. They're not going to vote. They're going to reject that. So it ain't going to happen. So don't worry, okay? Let's see. Now, Jamie says, is Paymon a Christian by definition? Are you a saved headed for heaven? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you decide that issue for yourself. I'll tell you what I can tell you about this issue myself, okay? You know, about a year ago with the internet, I came across thinking about near-death experiences. You know, It's kind of a different thing. You know, I like to check out new different things. I'm a curious cat. So, second video I saw is this one I'm going to show you right now, which blew my mind. I'll share it with you guys. Okay. Here's that my screen. Okay. There we go. So, what I did is I looked on there near, it got to this one, near death experience, Jeff Olson. That video led me to this one, the first one right here, the one with the blue sky and clouds one right here. Open that one. He's got several different speeches, but that's the one I saw, the best one by Anthony Chen that comes out right here, this one, okay? And it blew me away. By the way, in about a year, this video has had over 1 million views. That's a lot for a spiritual video. This guy died and came back. And, you check it out for yourself. I've always believed in a creator, a God, intelligent, all intelligent, knowing, powerful, loving God that did everything. I've always known about that. Although for a little period of time as a child, my brother put some doubts in my mind about it. But pretty soon I realized, no, I'm not agnostic. I'm definitely believing in God. But being raised in a Jewish family, going to a Jewish school in Iran with friends that were mostly Jewish but a few Muslim and Jews, I was 6. And I was standing next to a couple of my friends, and I just had some Hebrew class. And this thought occurred to me. You know, we all have the different holy books of God we claim is the right one, the correct one, or the other ones are no more good. Jews, Christian, Muslims. Pretty much they all say my way or highway. We're going to go to heaven, the rest of you are going to go to hell or not, as high as I'm going to go. Just because of your beliefs. Just because you say certain routines. A Saturday, Sunday, or Friday that you do. Just because you do a certain practice and traditions and go to this church or that church and read this book or that book. And believe in this or believe in that. You know, people want to believe in that, that's fine. My wife professes to be a Christian, and that's fine. But as far as for me goes, you know, I don't believe God will judge you by your belief system. You know, you could have whatever beliefs you want, wrong or right, you eventually find out if they're wrong or right. I believe who you are, you know, who you're being, your intent, and what you say and do counts. Like Zoroastrians, the oldest religion in the world, is from Persia, Iran. They set a creed called think good things, say good things, and do good things. So that's always been my creed type of a thing. I try to do that. I'll leave that to everybody else. So hope that's helpful to you, my friend. I know some people get disappointed in hearing that, but regardless of that, I hope you love me because I love you. I love you all no matter what you believe in, you know, and I know you want the best for me and everybody else. So thank you for sharing your question with everybody else and give me a chance to share that with you and everybody else. Okay. All right. Let's see. Any other? That's it. No more questions. Okay. All right. Yes. So no. Jimmy, the word Christian by someone who believes in Jesus died for you and everybody else. You know, shed blood, forgive your sin. You know that stuff. No. I respectfully say I gotta truthfully tell you that. No, that's not me. You may like me or hate me for it, but that's up to you, my friend. I'm just sharing you who I am. I would not lie to you to try to please anybody that what you want to hear. Okay, anyhow, all right, folks. I think that's all the questions that we have on here tonight. I love you all. Thank you for sharing your time with me. And I want to put some of the shorts also about other issues like the coronavirus, hoax hysteria. I put some stuff on that. I got some good stuff you'll love. So be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as we're going to get those notifications coming up also. Have a good night, my friends. Be back next Thursday night with you. Next Freedom Hour.